From God's Word, we read this, Psalm 13. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord, my God. Light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemy say, I've prevailed over him. Lest my foes rejoice, because I am shaken. But I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord, because he has dealt bountifully with me. How long, O Lord? This is our cry, too, in these days of such national turmoil. This is our cry during this pandemic. When will it all end? How long, O Lord? As we seek a way forward, especially in light of the circumstances of our nation these last few weeks, I want us today to engage really in a time of prayer, crying out to God in lament, and to help provide a framework for this, I want us to look at Psalm 13, which I just read. You know, the Psalms put in our mouths language for that honest cry to God. And boy, we see that here in Psalm 13. David knows one thing, and that is that God is sovereign. That's why he is praying to God. But what David feels is forgotten by God. Will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? Perhaps you have felt that way at some point. Just when you needed God, he seemed to slip out the back door. Well, some might be asking, where is God in these tumultuous times? Has he forgotten us? Well, David feels forgotten. But here's the thing, he keeps seeking God, doesn't he? I love what Sam Thielman said a few weeks ago in Sunday school class on the Psalms. There are no atheist psalms. The psalmists are honest about their troubles, but they hang in there with God. They pursue the Lord. And that's what David does. Instead of walking away from God, he honestly identifies the pain, the questions, the frustrations that are raging in his soul, and he pours them out to God. We have a big God, and he welcomes us, telling us, cast your cares upon me, even your deepest sorrows, because I care for you. So when suffering seems long and God seems distant, how long, O Lord? Tell him. When wrong eclipses the right and it just all seems so unfair, how long, O Lord? Tell him. When enemies overwhelm our lives, how long, O Lord, will you let this go on and leave us in the dark? Tell him. The Psalms give us language to cry with absolute honesty before the Lord. But second, the Psalms don't hide this reality that there are overwhelming enemies out there. As it were, enemies in the gate. David prays, how long shall my enemy be exalted over me? There in verse 3, and he's feeling overwhelmed, even to the point of death. He feels like his enemies are just itching to do the victory dance over him. Now, we don't know exactly who David's enemy is here. Maybe it was Saul who's chasing him. Maybe it was his son Absalom who was trying to kill David, his father, and take the throne. Maybe it was the Philistines or some other army. We don't know. But what we do know is that David is in a place of feeling pinned down in the dark, and death is just knocking at his door. You know, one of the beautiful things about the Psalms is Jesus prayed them too. Picture Jesus praying Psalm 13. He surely felt the hiddenness of God when he prayed from the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus knew the overwhelming assault of enemies. And Jesus' enemies, they weren't people. His enemies were Satan, death, hell, and our sin. Well, what overwhelming enemy are we facing in our nation today with the murder of George Floyd? Well, once again, a whole host of sins and enemies has reared its ugly head in our nation. Racism, injustice, the abuse of authority and power. We lament the reality that while all people should be treated with dignity and respect, why? Because they're made in God's image. Yet in too many instances, people of color, especially African-American men, have been subjected to violence and even death at the hands of those who have sworn an oath to serve and to protect the public. And in too many instances, churches across our land have failed to understand and empathize with the deep-seated pain, grief, anger, and injustice that is felt in the African-American community. Well, all those enemies are in the gate, so to speak. But there's a greater enemy underneath all of that. Leonce Crump is a black pastor in Atlanta, and he leads a multi-ethnic church there. And he says that the root of our nation's ills, the ills of racism, prejudice, injustice, abuse of power, that the root problem is a gospel issue. See, our nation rejects Jesus. Our nation hasn't been transformed by the work of Christ on the cross. And so America will remain stuck, unable truly to heal racism until she repents and turns to Jesus and begins operating out of God's kingdom perspective. Well, what do we do then as a church with this enemy in the gate, so to speak, of racism, hatred, prejudice, injustice? Well, there's got to be the resolve of faith on our part. That's what David did. And the resolve of faith is simply to rally, fundamentally, is to rally around God's salvation. Verse 5, but I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. You're rallying around God's salvation is going to, in resolving to we're going to take our stand around God's salvation, that leads us to two works as a church, which are important in this time. And one is a prophetic work, and the other is a priestly work. First, the prophetic work. We must proclaim the gospel. You know, David rejoices in God's salvation. Well, what is this salvation? Well, we know it in its greater fullness, and even as it relates to issues of ethnicity. God's salvation is this, from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, you who are far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two. And of course, the two here, Paul has in mind, are the Jews and the Gentiles. And these were ethnicities that hated one another. They couldn't even share a meal together. And by the cross, God is making one new man out of the two. And he might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. You know, the aim of God in the cross is to create this one people. And it's not a people, of course, who look all the same, as if God throws color and ethnicity out the window. No, through Jesus, God is bringing together, Revelation 7:9, people from every nation, tribe, and tongue to be his people. Well, that means that racism, injustice, these are an absolute affront to the gospel of Jesus Christ. They're a blight to his glory. They the sins of our age and that are being manifested today, they're an affront to the finished work of what Christ has done in the cross. And someday he's going to remove them from the landscape. But for us, church, what we are called to do, this prophetic work, is to preach Christ and him crucified, not merely that God's reconciled us to himself, but he's also reconciled us to one another. We may be very different, but we are now the dwelling place of God himself, a holy temple to the Lord. You know, of all the sandwich condiments that are out there, mustard, ketchup, mayonnaise, my favorite is mayonnaise. I mean, even on hot dogs, I will sometimes put mayo on it rather than ketchup. I love mayonnaise. Well, mayonnaise is made up of two things that do not get along. They do not stick together, oil and vinegar. So how do makers of mayo get two completely different substances to stick together on your sandwich? Well, it takes an emulsifier, eggs. There's something in eggs that bonds with the vinegar, bonds with the oil, and joins these two together as one, making delicious mayonnaise. The blood of Jesus Christ is the great emulsifier of humanity. The blood of Jesus Christ is able to unite very different groups because it's the blood of Christ that removes the offense of sin, that causes all forms of division, hatred, injustice, and abuse. Well, church, God has entrusted to us, not to anybody else, but to us, this gospel with the prophetic work of proclaiming Jesus to our nation. Because only the blood of Jesus will bring the love that we need that can bring down hatred between peoples. Only the blood of Jesus can truly heal the deep-seated wounds of people's hearts. Only the blood of Jesus can enable us to bless those who are very different from ourselves. Only the blood of Jesus has grace that enables us to love and to listen to one another and to make brothers and sisters out of former enemies. You know, we here in Montreat and in Black Mountain may never perhaps be a multi-ethnic congregation. Our just demographics skew largely white, but our the resolve of our church is this very thing, is it not? The disposition of our hearts, what oozes from our spirits, that whoever names the name of Jesus is my brother, is my sister. And I love how in the history of this church, we have sent missionaries all over this world to all peoples with this very message, that Jesus Christ makes us one as brothers and sisters. Well, this is our resolve. This is what we believe. This is what we live. This is what we proclaim. But this resolve of faith leads us not just to a prophetic work to proclaim the gospel into the tensions of our day, but resolve of faith also leads us into a priestly work to pray into the tensions of our day. Psalm 13 is a prayer. I mean, David didn't just groan and complain about his troubles and walk away. No, he prayed them before God's throne. Oh, how long, O Lord? Consider my and answer me, O Lord, my God. Light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. David prayed his sorrows and his troubles, and so must we. You know, well, priests pray, right? That's what we've been learning in 1 Peter. We're priests, and priests pray. But how do we pray into these days? I mean, we're a white congregation. I'll be the first to admit that I probably will never fully understand what our black brothers and sisters are going through right now. So how do I pray? Well, again, I refer to Leonce Crump. I mentioned him earlier. He has a church with quite a spread of white and black folks. And a few years ago, after a shooting of a black man in the United States by a white officer, he said to his white congregation, We don't expect you to fully understand. All that we in the Black community ask is that you weep with those who weep and mourn with those who mourn. Church, we can do that.